looking at when we're in the storms? Where are we struggling with when we're in our deepest depressions, in our problems, in our trials, in our tribulations? How are we going to get through these storms if we're kind of focused on ourselves, right? Instead of maybe something else? I put this little paragraph together. It's kind of a weatherman's ode to myself about the series, though, so to speak, because I'm a weatherman, that is. There have been thunderous lightning strikes of profound scripture, a torrent of information, and a gale force wind blowing through this place. It's like a radiant storm of inspiration sweeping through our souls. That's kind of been the whole series, right? We're trying to give you the building blocks on what to do when you come through trials, your tribulations, your storms, any of the ups and downs. You're struggling with depression. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's something else. Who knows what it is? There's all kinds of different things you can get through storms that you, those storms that you have on your own. So I'm going to ask a tough question, though, right off the top as we get started. Who are you living to impress in your life? Are you living to impress yourself? Maybe your family, right? Maybe your coworkers? Maybe some people on social media? Are any of you focused on God at all and trying to impress Him? Because I'm going to go through a bunch of stuff today, and I'm going to talk a lot about who you're focusing on, what you're focusing on, maybe even a little bit of why you're focusing on some of those things. And I'm going to give you some ideas on how you can get through that, right? And I'm going to reiterate some things two or three times. Don't worry about that. It's the reason. I want you to start trying to implement them into your life, all right? So that opening question, who are you living to impress? Friends, family, coworkers, or worldly standards from social media? That's a big one right now, right? That's something we didn't have years ago. Years ago, we had to pick up the phone and talk to somebody, and you had a cord if you didn't want to listen to anybody. It was 30 feet long, so you could sit in the kitchen while mom was in the living room. You could talk to whoever you were talking to, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever, right? Nowadays, you got your phone right on your hip. You got your computer. A lot easier to speak and do and talk to people, and at times, that makes it a lot harder on our lives, I think. There are plenty of believers who are tempted to seek approval from others or give in to fear, right? Peter, this is what we're going to talk about today, is going to be 1 Peter 4. That's the scripture where I'm kind of taking most of it. I'm going to give you a lot of different scriptures, but that's where we're going to start with. And he's going to talk about, he was writing to Christians who were really facing intense trials. They were having problems with persecution, rejection, hardship. Sounds like the same things we go through today, right? They were struggling for being tempted to seek approval from others or give in to fear that they had. And Peter writes to Christians facing their fiery trials and persecutions. You see all these things they were going through? Same things we go through on a daily basis. These believers were tempted to live for the approval of others around them or to give in to their own fears instead of sticking with God on their side. And Peter's trying to get them to focus on God instead. He calls them, and basically us, to live differently, to live for God alone. So the key parts of this message, who we live for. Is it going to be us or is it going to be God? Are we going to focus on us, the people around us, or are we going to focus on God? Let me tell you this, even if you're focusing on God, the people are still going to be around you. And we're also going to talk about our community coming together to help us all get through this. My goal is to kind of inspire you to make God your audience of one. That's your audience. And to navigate life's challenges with steadfast faith. So Susie and I were talking about, my wife Susie, you guys all know me, I'm Brian, I'm one of the assistant pastors here if I didn't tell you. We were talking this week and I was talking about my sermon and different things. And there was something that came up in our conversation, and I thought I'd bring it up because it's something that stuck with me for 40 years, all right? For 40 years, like when I was 21 years old, this happened to me, 22, and a lot of you will look at this and go, well, this isn't important. It's not that big a deal, because for me at the time, it was the biggest thing in the world that was happening to me, right? We all have our thing. For me, it was sports. You might have, I don't know what you like to do. Maybe you like to read. Maybe you like to go to movies. Whatever it is, you have something that you're hooked on, right? Nowadays, a lot of the computers and the gaming for the people, right? For me, it was actually competing in sports and trying to be the best I could be. Well, What happened was in the Marine Corps, we had a thing called the All-Marine Softball Team, all right? And you had to try out for this team. It was the best Marines on the West Coast. And it was a five-day event. It started off with 400 guys. After 5 days, they cut down to 20 guys. And I made the 20 guys cut list. Okay, so then from there, what they do is they break it into two teams, 10 on 10, right? Softball, slow pitch softball, it wasn't fast pitch. And then they cut another five guys. They needed 15 for the team. And then the team would get to travel. They would travel to the East Coast. They might even go over to Japan. They might go to different places and play softball and then perform, you know, and get to perform at some high levels with some really good teams and some great stuff. So I made it down to the final 20. And I know, ladies, you're kind of going to go into a stare because I'm going to throw some stats at you, all right? I think I made two diving catches in the outfield. I threw two guys out on the base paths. I went 7-for-8 at the plate with a single, two doubles, two triples, and two home runs. I was the stud. Yeah. I was 21 then. Now I'm going to be 60 this week. Okay. So, 21, right? I knew that I was the best player on that field. And that was no doubt about it. Guys came running up to me after the game. They're like, and they're pumping up this big ego of this 21-year-old who's only thinking about who? Himself, right? Man, we can't wait to play with you. This is great, man. This is going to be so awesome. And I had to tell the guys, coach cut me. And they're like, what? I said, yeah, coach cut me. He gave me some excuse about how he didn't know me. I had just come from Japan, so he was going to go with somebody else he knew, right? A little bit of favoritism maybe going on there, whatever it was. But I didn't make the team. And at that point, God was nowhere in my life to get me through that situation. My situation to get through that was me and me only, because I was only thinking of myself during that whole entire 5 days was, wow, I'm going to show everybody what I can do and how good I am and all this other stuff. And that stuck with me for years. Stuck with me enough that even Susie knew about it after we got married, right? And I was still performing and trying to beat everybody I could on the field, whether it was football, baseball, basketball, not so much, but wasn't quite my sport. But I tried every once in a while. And it turned me kind of angry at times because all it was about winning and about myself and what I could show people. And what I had forgotten was something I had been taught in, well, not in school, but in church. I went to a Catholic church when I was growing up about focusing on not myself, but on God. I had totally forgotten that as a 21-year-old. Can we all raise our hand and say, 21-year-olds make stupid decisions? All right, if you're 21 out there and you didn't raise your hand, that was a stupid decision. I'm just trying to say, it's one of those things. When we're young, we make decisions, we do things, we don't think straight. I want to get you kind of in a focused, in a funnel towards something that's going to work for you. And that, of course, is going to be that audience of one that we're talking about, God. Only now, all these years later, I can see how I was playing for myself and not for anything else. Yes, it is good to do well and thrive. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's whatever it is, right? But I had forgotten what I had learned as a child and that God should be my focus in everything that I did. I thought my audience was me. Really, I did. Maybe the guys around me. And I needed everyone else's approval. I didn't need God's at that point, right? So I want to get you to kind of change your mindset of thinking about yourself and about your the people around you and what they think of you and get you more focused on God. We're going to talk mainly about understanding our audience, and that audience is going to be God. Scripture reference, of course, is 1 Peter. We're going to start with 1 Peter 4, 1 through 2, and it says this, "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God." Okay? We're going to get into a lot of different things here today, but it tells you right at the beginning, Jesus set himself up for this, and this is how he did it. Peter points out that Jesus Christ suffered with purpose. He lived entirely for God's will, not for human approval. on the cross even. He didn't beg to get off the cross, did he? No, he wasn't swayed by the crowd's mockery or the pressure to save himself. He was fixed still on pleasing his Father all the way to the end. He suffered with purpose. He focused on God's will, not human approval. Nowhere in there did he go, "Hey man, did I do a great job with that miracle?" Like I would have done playing softball or whatever it may have been at my time, right? He was focused on what he was supposed to be doing. He lived entirely to please his Father. Now, living for God means aligning our desires with his purpose, not seeking human approval. And this is going to be a very hard thing to do, all right? Some of these things I'm going to ask you to just start slowly trying to change in your lives are going to be hard. You're going to find it hard. Modern pressures like chasing social media, fitting in at work, worrying about other opinions of our faith are going to be things that keep washing into your life and trying to get you away from watching and focusing on God. Here's another, Galatians 1:10, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings, right? Your focus shouldn't be on human beings, it should be on God. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. That doesn't mean you can't do your things. That doesn't mean you can't have fun. That doesn't mean you can't do everything in your life. But if you change your focus to God being that, what you're doing, your life is going to go like this, right? Your enthusiasm, you're going to be ecstatic about things. You're going to get through your trials, your storms, your tribulations much smoother and easier because you know focused on what God has already done for us and why we need to focus on him to get through these troubles. So there's a consequence, of course, for this. If you're living for others, the approval leaves us empty and unstable. There's that quick little adrenaline rush, and then where's more? Where's more? Why can't I get more? What's going on? Why is this, right? It leaves you empty and unstable, and you're just wanting more. Yes, there is an instant gratification, but it doesn't last, and it leaves us seeking more. And in Proverbs 29:25, it says this, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." How many of us know people, maybe even ourselves, who got snared into something that man was doing? That we knew was wrong, but we thought, hey, let's do that. Maybe we were 21 when we did it, right? Made a lot of goofy decisions, right? I can say I never drove drunk. I never did some weird things. But I'm sure I did some oddball things that were stupid, right? Never did drugs. I was a Marine. They tested for that. You can't do that kind of thing in the Marine Corps. So you had to watch out for that kind of stuff, right? In a way, those are what God wanted me to do anyway. He didn't want me to do this. He didn't want me to do that. And I didn't do those. But we had plenty of guys who did, who struggled, who fought it. You might be fighting the same problems right now. This is a chance for you to make some changes this week. So let's reflect. Who or what is driving your decisions right now? Is it self, others, or God? And I want you to take an action right now. And this you can do while I'm talking. You can do this while you're driving. You can do this at home tonight. You can do it tomorrow morning. I want you to pause, pray silently, and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal your true audience to you. And like I said, you can do it while I'm talking right here if you want to. Pause and pray silently, asking the Holy Spirit to reveal your true audience. The next step gets a little tougher. That one was easy. You know, small little prayer, right? Can't be that hard. We're going to live with the eternal perspective in our mind, which is God himself too, instead of the now time. We always live for what's now, right? Well, the eternal perspective is what's going to happen to us after, for eternity. And in Scripture, in 1 Peter, he goes on to say in 3-7, "For you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do, living in debauchery, lust, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, and detestable idolatry. The end of all things is near." Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. So I've already told you I want you to start praying, right? A silent prayer, something simple if you're not doing it. But here, he's getting into it. He's putting everything out there. Are you doing this? Are you doing that? Remember, he was writing to people that were having problems with all of these different things. And I'm sure many of us have struggled with all or most of any of these things on the list. And as we get older, we tend to kind of move away from it, but that's because we start gaining wisdom, right? We start learning more about God. We start learning more about things. I went through this exact same thing. When I was 21, I knew about God, but I didn't want to have God in my life. When I was 40, it totally changed. Life had been disrupted. Everything had become chaos, and I needed God in my life, and I started to see that. I don't want you to take 20 years to figure that out. I want you to start doing that right now. So here's contrasting of two lifestyles in that scripture. The past, chasing fleeting pleasures, right? He talks about debauchery, lust, idolatry, all the things that we still go through today. And living for the world's applause a lot of times from that, because your friends are doing the same thing, right? Present calling now is on as Christians to live prayerfully, alert, and devoted to God's will. Now, I'm calling on all of us to live for Christ through this. That's what we're looking for you to start focusing there and to live through him. Now, he did go through some reason for change in there. If you remember, it said, the end of all things is near in there. All right? This is not about fear-mongering, that the end is coming, look out. It's about gaining your perspective on the rest of your life. The end is going to come. We're not fear-mongering you. We're telling you, do you need to be prepared? And your prepare, and what we think should be your preparedness, is, if I got all my prepareds right there, is focusing on God, right? Focusing on God. Not about fear-mongering. It's about changing and gaining a new perspective. Eternal perspective reorientates priorities to please God. So here's the big question. How many of you really see it that way? Or how many of you are like, I'm still stuck in today. All I care about is what's happening now. Well, when you start changing your focus and focusing on God, when you're doing everything in your life, through the trials, the tribulations, the storms, everything we've been talking about over these last 6-7 weeks, your focus will now start to be more eternal. You're going to start thinking about the things and the way you do things, and those other things can now start to fade into the background, and you can change your life through that. So, do you see it that way right now, or are you still stuck in that other thing about getting the pleasure from those other things? There's some supporting scriptures. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says this, and God has set eternity in the human heart. Eternity shapes priorities, that's for sure, right? When you realize it's about eternity instead of just now, you can start thinking about it in your heart. And God, that's the way God wants to get to you. Now, in Matthew 6, this is 28, I think it's 19 through 21, it says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. And this is where the Marine comes out in me and says, yeah, you're not going to have that stuff. You're not going to take it with you. So why are you worried about it? Right? I know the Marine says that. Yet I fall into it too, right? I've done things I needed, thought I had to have, stuff like that. This is where we want to get away from that. We want to get away from that thinking about the treasures that are here that we can't take with us, right? But store up for yourselves, it goes on to say, your treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy. This is where we start to look at eternity, right? In heaven, that's not going to happen. And where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure, my treasure right now is in my family. It's been a total change focus. Susie will tell you, first, I don't know how many years, she'll have a number for you. I was still all about me, right? I think it changed after I got hurt, maybe a little bit, but I was still about me for a long time. And then, it, like I said, it took till I was 40. maybe even 45, till I really started to catch on what was going on in life and why I needed God so much. I don't want that for you. I want you to find it now, all right? All right, now I got to figure out where I'm at. Who's ever lost track? Billy and I, we talked about this yesterday. He's laughing at me a little bit because a lot of times some pastors write out the entire script, right? And I think both of us have kind of done that over the years. I tried to bullet format. So I don't know how I'm going to fill in some of these things, you know? And I'm not sure what's going to come out of my mouth at any given time. And finding out where I'm at, who knows, right? But you know who's guiding me right now? The Holy Spirit is guiding me right now. So that'll work. All right, so here's our illustration of what we were talking about. Let me see if I can get back to it, about Matthew. Life is a journey, right? Don't waste time and resources on the temporary roadside stop, when your destination is a beautiful eternal city, the kingdom of God. That's what we should be focusing on. Keep your focus on the eternal goal, all right? You notice I keep repeating things, right? I'm telling you about praying. I'm talking about focusing on the eternal, all right? These are things we're going to keep talking about as we go. Here's how I want you to apply yourself. Set one specific goal this week to prioritize God's will. This will be hard for you if you've never done it before. And here's some examples. These are just examples you can use. Daily prayer. Notice I said prayer again, right? Daniel, in Daniel 6, he prayed 3 times a day despite opposition against it. Right? Have any of us prayed 3 times this week? There'll be some nodding heads. There'll be a lot of, I don't know if I even prayed once today. I can tell you this right now. It seems like I pray to God probably 15 times a day. A lot of times there are little things, right? Oh, God, get me through this. I just need some help here. And it's not like make the light turn red or turn green, right? Not that kind of stuff. It's stuff. I see somebody, I go, oh, please, God, make sure that they have a safe trip home, right? Inside, I'm saying that to God, and I know he's listening and he's hearing me. Like, you need to start doing the same stuff if you're not doing that, right? That's going to help you get through so that. So daily prayer, that's one small way to start. The second one is selfless service. Selfless service. Have you done anything for somebody this week? Do you plan on doing anything for somebody this week? Yeah, I see a couple nodding heads. I know there'll be some things going on. Selfless service, like Jesus washing the disciples' feet, right? So we went to Turkana, which is in Kenya, to do a mission trip. Susie and I did. This is 12 years ago already now. And when we got back out of the field, we stopped, and what we did the last night before we kind of went and did a couple other things was we washed the feet of everybody that was in the group. And I still wasn't that strong in my walk with Christ. I did not understand it at the time. What was he trying to get at? Why am I washing the feet? And I was supposed to say some good things about the people and do that. You ever tried doing that with somebody? I want you to try that at home. Try that and see how it goes with your wife or your husband or somebody, right? But remember, the focus was supposed to be on God and helping others. Instead, I still couldn't get past myself. What am I doing this for? Why is this happening, right? I want you to change your focus and start focusing on God, and this is one way you can do that. That was helping others and focusing on Jesus is what I was getting at for that point there. Now, write down one goal to live for God's will this week. That's another thing you can do. Write down one thing that you're going to do for God's will. You notice I keep giving you these little things. Prayer. Now I want you to write some things down. I want you to start focusing in a different place. Now, rejoicing in suffering. This will be a hard one for all of us to grasp, because when we get into turmoil, when we have troubles, when we're down in a low depression somewhere and we think the world is ending, we have a tendency to blame who? We blame God, don't we, a lot of times. God, why are you doing this to me? Instead of focusing on God to get myself through the situation, I start to blame God, or I start to struggle with a lot of the problems that we're having. So here's your scripture reference. When it goes on in Peter here, now it's 12 through 19. It says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." Remember I told you that he was writing to people who were struggling with all kinds of different problems? Right in that first line there, he says that. Don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you. We're all going to have ups and downs. We're all going to have trials, tribulations, storms in our lives, right? He goes on to say, but rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you suffer as a Christian, and do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. So then, those who suffer according to God's will should commit themselves to their faithful Creator and continue to do good. He's getting there at the end where they're starting to be persecuted for being Christians too, right? And I think I could probably get a few hands if I said, who out here has been laughed at because you were a Christian? Yep. Somebody's mocking you. They're making fun of you, right? They were going through the same kind of storms, right? And those are storms because in your mind, you're starting to think all kinds of different things when that goes on, right? Instead of focusing again back on God, what does God want me to do in this situation? I need to lean on Him, right? So the key point there is suffering is expected in the Christian life, but living for God equips us to face storms with joy, trusting His purpose, right? Suffering refines faith and aligns us with Christ, even though while we're in the midst of it, we don't think of it that way. We don't think of it that way. We think of it afterwards a lot of times. Man, I was blessed to get through that. Well, I would have been a lot better blessed and a lot better through the situation if I had focused on God in the first place instead of focusing on something terrible that I think is ending the world. And that's easy to say because we sat here for the last couple days with the FEMA group here going through how people get through terrible situations, destruction in their life. Some people are ecstatic and they're like, I'm going to get through this, it's going to be okay, and life is great. A lot of those people say, God is on my side, I'm going to be fine. Other people just crawl into a ball. They don't want to talk. They don't want to do anything. We all react differently. I want to get us focused on reacting towards God so that those reactions are better for us, right? Some supporting scriptures. John 16:33 says this, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. That is Jesus speaking right there, right? He has overcome the world. So what do we have to worry about? We have nothing to worry about. We just focus on Him and we'll get through those troubles. Suffering is not a sign of God's absence, but an opportunity to glorify Him. And in 1 Peter 4:16, back to it, it says, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God. Praise God. Because God is the one who's going to get you through that situation, and God is the one I want you to focus on when you are in those situations. Here's some quick examples. Job, after losing everything, Job said this, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. You lost everything. Why would you praise God? And the guy in the FEMA thing, Chris, said, well, you're still alive, aren't you? Right? You're still alive. That one hit me pretty good. I was like, wow, he's right. Most of us don't think about that. We just think about what we lost. Instead of, I'm still alive, I can still praise God, and I can still get through this, all right? Joy came from sharing in Christ's sufferings, not the pain itself. And that's because in Acts 5:41, it says this, because they had been counted worthy of suffering, disgrace, for the name, all right? These were the apostles that had gotten into this situation when you get into the Acts part there. The apostles left that there, right there, and it says, because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for their name, and they thought it was a great thing. Okay, yes, we suffered, we had problems, but we got through it because of Jesus, and we never lost our focus on Jesus, and now we can tell everybody about that story and what happened, all right? Here's another application. Identify one current hardship that's in your life. Is it a health issue, strained relationship, maybe persecution for faith, maybe you're struggling with alcohol, drugs, whatever it may be. Identify one current hardship and then commit to entrusting it to God with a joyful heart. With a joyful heart. Then I want you to write down your hardship and pair it with Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. Use this to anchor your trust. That's where I want you to go. Quick overview here. See what we covered. Living for an audience of one, right? Involves prioritizing God's will, staying prayerful, and rejoicing in trials. And here's the three actionable steps I want you to take. The first one is daily surrender. Remember I said prayer, right? Start each day with a prayer. Lord, how can I please you today? It can be as simple as that. How can I please you today? In Scripture, in Psalms, it says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me in the way everlasting." This can be a very hard thing to start. Billy's famous saying here, time, talent, and treasure, I add the word together to the end. Time, talent, treasure, together. Time is the first one. It's the hardest thing for any of us to give up. It's the hardest thing for me to come back to the church to help out and do this. It's the hardest thing for me to go down to the homeless shelter to help somebody there. It's the hardest thing for me to stop on the side of the road and help somebody whose car is broken down. Time. Time gets in the way. Please, please, don't allow time to stop you from finding the glory of God. Find someone this week to pray with about living, too. Use this prayer every morning to align with God's will that I was talking about. That's the way we want to go. Let's go to community support. That's number two. Share struggles with a trusted believer for prayer and accountability. You've got to have somebody you can talk to, right? Preferably someone who may have already been through this with the same scenario. Look at all the people around this room. This is your community. These are the people we want to get to. Find someone this week to pray with about living for God's will. And there's a good thing. If you can't find somebody, small groups are starting up in a couple months for the fall, right? We had 10 small groups in the spring. Maybe we'll have 10 again this fall. I don't know the numbers yet. Haven't heard. It's going to be exciting. You can get in a group and you'll have somebody you can find and you can talk with and someone that will come alongside you. Lastly, trust in the trials. Write down one hardship and pair it with a Bible verse like maybe Philippians 4:13, which says, "I can do all this through Him who gives me strength." Who gives me strength. And then keep it visible as a reminder to trust God in trials. Then go out and tackle the world with God at your side. Prayer. Focus on your community. Focus on God, obviously, and start making movement forward instead of being stuck in the storms and in the center of everything that's going on for chaos. So, this week is what I want you to do. Praying your surrender prayer, whatever that one is that you marry up to whatever the problem is. Meeting with a friend for some kind of accountability. And maybe memorize a verse. That one's a good one to put on there. That's a tough one for me. I can't remember some of the stuff I wrote in here and I looked at this morning already. So try memorizing something yourself and see if you can get through it. See if that'll help you. The big idea was this. Who we live for is either going to be ourselves, the people around us, or God. Where is your focus? Is it on God or is it on one of those other two? Living for an audience of one provides strength to face trials with joy and trust. And until you go through it and you've done it, you won't understand it. So why not start now? Start today, right? Choose today to live for God alone. Let His strength carry you through every single storm in your life. Because it's not about now. It's about eternity. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. That's Colossians 3:23. Working for the Lord, not for others, the human masters. Maybe you're sitting there today and you're thinking to yourself, you know, he's right. I need to start changing things. I need to start doing things differently. And maybe you haven't really taken that step out there to say, Jesus, I want you to be my guy. My guy. That's the way we used to say it. My guy. Jesus. So we do something here. We call it, it's called a salvation prayer. A lot of churches do it. We try to do it every week. It's a chance for you, if you haven't stepped out to find Jesus, to make that commitment today. But here's the good news. If it is your first time, you're a little nervous about it, everybody around you is going to repeat the same words and are going to say the same thing as they reaffirm the fact that Jesus is number one in their life and that they're going to focus on Jesus to get through their storms. So please, repeat after me. Everybody in the room, please. Heavenly Father, I confess that I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose again. I turn from my sins and invite you, Jesus, into my heart. Thank you for your grace and salvation. In Jesus' name. And the congregation said, awesome. Hey, let's put our hands together for anybody who may have done that the first time today. All right, that is awesome. It's been pretty good. It's been a good morning. We had a big storm to kind of kick things off for the storm series. We had tornadoes in the series. We've had all kinds of different things. I just want you to focus on God. Something we tend to get away from when things are bad instead of running to. When there's a fire out there, some of us run away from the fire, some of us run into the fire, right? I want to be that guy where all of us are running in towards God to get through the fire of whatever it may be. Prayer before the last song here, folks. Thank you, God, for calling us to live for you. Thank you for focusing us on living for an audience of one. An audience of one, not of two, not of ten. We ask for courage to seek your approval above all else this week. We are going to focus on you. We request help to face trials with joy, trusting your faithful purpose in that process. And we seek guidance to live for an audience of one this week and now through eternity. We ask that we can take these steps, even if they're baby steps, and we ask that you guide us through each and every day. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys. Focus on Christ through all the trials and the storms.